Revelation chapter 10, verses 1 to 11. A mighty angel with a little book. At this point in our study, the world is somewhere in the middle to the beginning of the last half of this seven-year great tribulation period. As we're going to see next time in Revelation chapter 11, we have the two witnesses, another incredible chapter. So we're going to go ahead and read verses 1 to 11. I saw still another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and the rainbow was on his head. His face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. He had a little book open in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land, and cried out with a loud voice as when a lion roars. When he cried out, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now when the seven thunders uttered their voices, John says, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered and do not write them. The angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be delay no longer. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. Then the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, go take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth. So I went to the angel and said to him, give me the little book. And he said to me, take and eat it, and it will make your stomach bitter, but it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth. Then I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and it was as sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. And he said to me, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. So here we have something special going on. Now, there has been disagreement among Bible scholars and expositors as to the identity of this angel. I know what you're thinking. Some identify this strong angel as Christ himself. Others consider him to be just an angel with great power and authority. But if you look at the scripture, and we're going to look at this a little closer, you'll see there's enough evidence to show that this is another angel. He's a mighty angel. Now, nowhere do we see Christ appearing in the book of Revelation as an angel. It is true, in the Old Testament, the pre-incarnate Christ was seen as the angel of the Lord. But after he took upon himself our humanity, after he died and rose again and received a glorified body, we see him in the place of great power and glory at God's right hand, making intercession for the church, for each one of us as born-again believers. Keep in mind, as we continue our study in the book of Revelation, Jesus is revealed as what? The glorified Christ, the post-incarnate Christ. This book is the unveiling of Jesus Christ. And besides that, he is now the one judging a Christ-rejecting world. So John begins with saying, I saw still another angel, a mighty angel. The problem is in the way this angel is described. Because according to his description, it's led some to identify him as Jesus Christ, even though all angels are the servants of Christ. In this final book of the Bible, this is evidently a special messenger of Jesus Christ, who is bearing all the credentials of his exalted position. So he comes down out of heaven from the presence of Jesus, who's in the midst of the throne judging. And this mighty angel is clothed with a cloud. Notice the wording, clothed with a cloud. In Scripture, the clouds of glory are associated with Christ's second coming. Here, the angel is not coming in clouds of glory. He's clothed with a cloud. John goes on to say, and a rainbow was upon his head. This is a reminder of God's covenant with man, of course, that God will never again send a flood to destroy mankind. We know this time the world will be destroyed by fire. His face was like the sun. I mean, this is a description of the glorified Christ, Revelation 1:6, that says he had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. So even though this angel has these characteristics, it doesn't mean this is Jesus. We read in the scripture that Moses, when he was in God's presence or on Mount Sinai, when he came down, his face shone. Exodus 34, verse 29. Now it was so when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. You really, really need to know Scripture. You need to be reading it. You need to understand it from beginning to end, Genesis to Revelation, because you could take any text in the Bible and come up with any conclusion you want to come up with unless you have scriptural reference to back up what you're saying, what you're teaching. Think about it. The angel just come from being in the presence of Jesus Christ, who is still on the throne directing these events. The angel's clothing at Christ's resurrection shone. Luke 24, verse 4. And it happened as they, the women who went to the tomb, were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Two angels coming from the presence of God. Revelation 18, 1 tells us of an angel that the earth was illuminated with his glory. Yet no one says that he is Jesus Christ. That's why, again, you have to compare scripture with scripture to find the true interpretation of a text. If you don't compare scripture with scripture, you can go off the wall like nobody's business. Feet like pillars of fire. It tells us this angel is about to make an announcement of coming judgment. You see, all these marks of identification actually connect this angel to the person of Jesus Christ as one that Jesus himself has sent. So what we need to keep in mind, and again, I'm going to keep reiterating this throughout our study, Jesus is still on the throne. He's the one calling the shots. He's sending his judgment to the earth. Right now, in the form of this mighty angel. Now, many people have asked, what about this book? What is it? Well, many believe this little book, or actually in the translation, it could be scroll. Many believe that this is the seven-sealed scroll God gave to his son in Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. The reason is because it's the only thing that's been before us. and it's not identified in any other way than a little book. The breaking of the seven seals opened the book, and the seven trumpets, six of which have already been blown. Chapter 11, next time, we're going to see the dreaded seventh trumpet being blown along with the two witnesses. After Jesus removes the seals, he in turn gives the book to the angel, who then gives it to John to eat. This book is believed to be the title deed of the earth. In this book, it contains the judgments of the great tribulation by which Jesus himself is coming in power. In Leviticus 25, verse 23, the Lord gave instructions to Israel concerning the land he had given to them. The land shall not be sold permanently, for the land is mine. For you are strangers and sojourners with me. That was God saying that. What's interesting is Joel chapter 3, verses 2 to 3, says, I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. The valley of Jehoshaphat is the valley of Megiddo. That's where the battle of Armageddon will take place. And I will enter into judgment with them on account of my people, my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. They have also divided up my land. Does that ring any bells? We read the same thing in Ezekiel chapter 39. That war happens with Iran and the Arabs and Russia. All the alliances that are being made in the last month are incredible. It makes the hair stand up on my neck that we could literally be seeing what's been taught and studied for the last 2,000 years. Jesus talked about this. That's what Matthew chapter 25 is about. The sheep and the goats, the judgment of the nations. This is exactly what it is. Well, here's the picture we're seeing. The title deed of the earth is in the angel's hand. And by placing his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the earth, this mighty angel is claiming everything for Jesus Christ. The kingdoms of this world become the Lord's kingdoms through judgment, because as creator and redeemer, the world belongs to him. It's all the Lord's. Now you're probably wondering, well, Rick, what about these seven thunders? What's that all about? One commentator made the point the Jews were accustomed to speak of thunder as the seven voices. Israel spoke of thunder as being the voice of the Lord, the seven voices of God. So we believe these seven thunders to be the voice of God. In this message of the seven thunders, John isn't allowed to write anything down of what these seven thunders said. Only that Jesus told him, seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered, and do not write them. This is the only place in this book that you see something sealed, because Revelation is a book of unveiling. Whatever was said, no man knows, even though Jesus is being revealed in this book. God has chosen not to make it known to us. And like my first pastor, Pastor Raul Reese, said, where God is silent, we must be silent. You just can't make something up like so many people do today. Or they don't research things out, so they take it as biblical doctrine. Everything points to the fact that this angel is just that. He's a mighty angel. This angel makes it clear he couldn't be Christ. Where'd he make it clear? He swore by him who lives forever and ever. Hebrews 6:13, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. You see, God can't swear by anything because there's none greater than him. This angel swore by another because this angel is not God. Therefore, he is not Jesus. Jesus is the eternal God and the Creator. John 1, verses 1 to 3. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. So this angel takes an oath in the name of Christ, who is in heaven. As Christ's representative, he claims everything on this planet for Jesus. The meaning that there should be delay no longer is that now it will be a very short time until Christ returns at his second coming. The seventh angel is preparing to blow the trumpet. It means we're just about at the conclusion of the Great Tribulation. God's mystery is finally made clear. Throughout Scripture, there's a mystery concerning Israel, concerning judgment, concerning suffering, and concerning the injustice. Why is God silent? And also of the coming kingdom. The basic question I get asked all the time. Why did God allow evil? And why has God tolerated it for so long? Well, I don't know why. No one has all the answers. But one thing I do know, when we get to heaven, we're going to know why. We will know why. These orders are coming from Christ. He's the one directing everything recorded in the book of Revelation. He is a judge of all the earth. We see him highly exalted and given a name above every name. Jeremiah 15:16 says, "For your words were found, and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts." Notice Jeremiah the prophet likens the word to eating it. Ezekiel 3, verses 1 to 3. "Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll and go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth and he caused me to eat that scroll. And he said to me, Son of man, feed your belly and fill your stomach with this scroll that I give you. So I ate and it was in my mouth like honey and sweetness." Like honey and sweetness. Isn't that what God's word is to you and I as believers? Proverbs 16:24. "Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones." Psalm 119:103. "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Scripture backing up and supporting Scripture. You have to know God's word. All nations, all peoples, and all tongues need to hear God's word. They need to hear and be warned that judgment is on the horizon. If they go through the Great Tribulation period, they will feel like they've literally entered hell itself. That's one thing about prophecy, eschatology. It'll have a definite effect on your life. It will bring you either closer to Christ or it will take you farther from him. So next time, chapter 11, two witnesses prophesy and they bring judgment on those who would harm them. And the seventh angel blows the last trumpet. Father, we come before you and we thank you for your word, Lord. And Father, I pray for those who are listening to these studies. Lord, I ask that you would speak to them mightily of these days that we are living in. For 2,000 years, they've been looking for these days to come. And here we're seeing the nations. We're seeing everything biblically and doctrinally line up. Father, we need to wake up and understand the time frame that we are living in right now. It's exciting times. It means Jesus is coming before all this takes place. And if we're seeing in our country, in our world, what's happening now, how much closer is it to our Lord's return? Father, we love you. We thank you. Pray you bless the rest of this teaching, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.